First disciple, so I guess I knew him best. I had more time to be with him, so much more than all the rest. I even tried to walk on water, but then I started down. Oh, until he said, oh, you've no faith, why did you die? My name is Simon Peter, a name I'll try to hide. I've just denied my closest friend, and now he's crucified. My name is Simon Peter, and I'm gonna shout it to the sky. And I'll regret the words I said until the day. day I died. He walked around so gently, with a great peace in his eyes. And when he asked me to follow him, my heart could not deny. The words filled my life with joy. I know he's the Son of Man, but when it came time to stand up and fight, I just turned around and ran. Oh, my name is Simon Peter, a name I'll try to hide. I've just denied my closest friend, and now he's crucified. My name is Simon Peter, and I'm gonna shout it to the sky. And I'll regret the words I said until the day I die. The dark returns to dawn again, and I hear people in the streets. Someone shouts, "The tomb is empty. Could be that he still lives. Is it possible he's come back and rose from the dead? I'll rise on the third day. I remember what he said. And my name's Simon Peter. My name I'll never hide. Never deny my king again as he sits in grace on high. And my name is Simon Peter, and I'm going to shout it to the sky. And I'll preach the word of the living God until the day I
preach it, I'm telling you, I wish you could say, you could just taste it one time. I'm telling you what, God wants to be in your life. God wants to work in your life. And I know a lot of times the devil will try to make you think that you can never have it. The devil tries to make you feel unattainable. I'm never going to reach that. The devil wants you to think that, but I want to tell you something. It's for you. It is absolutely for you. And all you got to do is accept it. Amen. How many knows that's true?
Amen.
Absolutely. Why don't we run scripture for now? It's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verses 3. And I know I wrote that out of order for you. Sorry about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses, starting verse 3. Kind of a privilege to be among you this morning, and pray that the Lord will give you something that you can receive from it that would benefit your walk with Him. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, I'm asking that you would help me to get myself out of the way this morning, Lord. And Lord God, I just want to be a yielded vessel for you this morning. Lord, I'm not trying to bring anything put on, Lord. I don't care if anybody even remember me after the service, Lord. It's your word, Lord. I want it to be able to say that you touched them this morning, Lord. I'm asking you to come in your own way and touch each heart right now, Lord. Minister to their needs individually, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful that we serve a God that you know every flea that's on this earth, every time it bats its eye. You see every time the sparrow falls. Lord, you know each one, Lord. And Lord God, you know each son and daughter of God that's here this morning. Lord, you know what's going through their mind. You know what they've been battling. Lord, you know exactly what's going on in their house. Lord, I'm asking that you would come in your own way, that you would speak to each heart right now in Jesus' name. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to speak to you on a little thought this morning of channeled energy. Channeled energy. You know, energy that's not channeled is a wasted energy. It's something that's not going anywhere. And if you want a perfect example of that is take a bullet and let it explode without a barrel. You'll find out real quickly what will happen to it. My brother and I were out squirrel hunting one time, and it was snowing. And we had good almost knee-high snow. And as we were hunting, he had tripped and fell just a little bit at one moment and didn't realize that he got snow inside of his barrel. And I was over beside him, and we were watching a squirrel coming up there, and he took a shot at that squirrel, and he was pointing that way, but I had BBs coming my way, and I was way over here, and I was like, what in the world are you shooting at? Look over there, and his gun was peeled like a banana. And it's a perfect example of a bullet that's not channeled in the right way. Needless to say, he missed the squirrel, but he come close to hitting me. So I don't know how you want to do that, but that's what happens if it's not channeled in the right way.
Amen.
And you take a young person that's full of zeal and ambition, but they have no sense of direction, and they'll find they'll have no progress. They'll waste a lot of energy. You've got a lot of ambition. You've got a lot of strength. You've got a lot of zeal. You're ready to do this. But if you're not channeled in the right way, you're going to find out you're going to blow a lot of steam, and you're not going to gain anything. You're going to be finding yourself spinning your tires. An individual going to a gym that doesn't know how to use the weights, they won't see no progress. And a lot of times when a person doesn't see progress, they get discouraged and they quit. And they'll do that in the gym, and they'll do that in church also. You know, you can go for a little while and you feel like you're putting everything into it, but sometimes because you don't feel progress, you say, you know what, I may as well quit. I'm wasting my time. That's what the devil wants you to think. But I'm telling you, we need to channel our energy. If you'll channel your energy in the right way, God will bless you and you will see something take place. You think that's not right, you can have electricity in this building because it's channeled in the right way. It's going to the switches, it's going to the light bulbs, and everything works according to the laws of electricity. It's because it's channeled in the right way. And I'm showing you this as a natural type spiritual. God is a healer. God always was a healer. God always will be a healer. Same thing for a deliverer. God is a savior. God will do the things that he always said he would. But the thing is, it must be channeled in the right way. Because if you don't, it's not going to happen. It's not going to work. And it's not because electricity is wrong. It's not because electricity is an evil thing. It's because it's not channeled in the right way. And a lot of times, people need healing. They need these things. And I'm here to tell you that God did it then, and He'll do it today, and He'll do it tomorrow. But it has to be according to the right way. And I don't have the quote with me this morning. Brother Brenham talked about how a little child will learn how to walk. And when that child starts to walk, it'll tittle-tottle and it'll fall down, but it'll get back up. But that's part of learning how to do the balance. But you know what? There comes a time whenever that's not really a great thing. You know, how many have seen Brother Tim walk up to the front here? How many have said, wow, he walked. Look at him, he walked. It's wonderful. No, you know, you're not going to get excited about that. Why? Because that's something that's already been learned already. But that's a lot of times, brothers and sisters, in your walk with the Lord, I need healing. I need deliverance. I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I need these things, but how do I get them? Well, one time, that was a great thing, but we're beyond that now. At least we should be. We're coming to a point where we need to be ready for a body change. We're getting ready where Brother Brim said, people don't even have faith for healing right now, and you're expecting your body to be changed. He said, I'm not doing this, saying these things to scare you, friends. He said, I'm telling you because we need to be on our toes in these things and be alert that we need faith. But we don't just need faith. We need faith that will do what it's supposed to do. You know, Pentecostals have all the zeal where they can speak in tongues, they can shout, they got all the esteem, but they don't know what to do with it. So the only thing they know to do is shout and speak in tongues. I've seen prayer line, brothers and sisters, where somebody go through there and faith is in the building. They're going through to be prayed for, but when they're going to the prayer line, they're speaking in tongues, they're shouting, and the minister's trying to talk to them. He said, listen, what I'm trying to tell you, you have to, and they won't listen to what they're saying because they're thinking, I've got to do this. I've got to shout. I've got to speak in tongues. I've got to do these things. And they walked away and never received their healing because they weren't channeled in the right way. A lot of us, friends, it's because we try to do it in ourselves. We try to say that it's something that I've got to do. I'm going to ask you, which one of you called yourself to the Word? Which one of you says, you know what, I want the Holy Ghost now. I want it right here, right now. It's God that puts that desire inside your heart. It's God that does the pulling, but God will put the desire in someone's heart, but because they do not channel it in the right way, they'll actually lose the power of the opportunity. I'm not an electrician, but I think a lot of you know that there's a little thing called a breaker box. Our air conditioner quit working here a while back, and we'd looked at all the symptoms and everything. I even walked up to the breaker box. I seen it, and I was like, well, it's not tripped. And I literally started to reach up and trip it and trip it backwards. I thought, well, no, it's not tripped. I walked away from it. And so let's let the electricity AC guy come. The AC guy comes and checks everything out. He said, calls me up. He says, Daniel, you're not going to believe this. And I'm thinking to myself, it's the breaker. I guarantee you. So I'm telling myself, you imagine how many words you can say to yourself in 2 seconds. I was just like, he said, now you're not going to believe what it is. Your breaker was tripped. I said, well, send me the bill. I said, oh, I will. But you know what? I seen it. I was there. I was at the breaker box. I literally started to touch it, and I got halfway up there and said, no, that's not what it is. And I walked away. Well, we haven't got the bill yet, but I'm sure we will. But you know, there's a breaker there, but what it's there for, it's to protect you. It's to protect you from burning your equipment up. It's protect from turning, especially as far as electricians go. There's things that will trip that will protect you. And I'm so thankful there are spiritual breakers that will help us keep from hurting ourselves. Because you know, a lot of us, we want the power now, but we don't know how to use it. We would mishandle using the power if we had all that. Who'll be honest with me this morning?
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of times we need protection from ourselves. And I'm just going to tell off myself, there was one time I was going to work, I was halfway through there, and this guy in front of me was just driving under the speed limit, and I was like, you know what, goodness gracious, I'm going to get around it. And so, well, somebody got in the left lane, and something I hate more than anything is two people that will be in both lanes and they both do the speed limit. You know, in my understanding, this is past zone. Pass zone, young people. The left lane's pass zone, and then once you pass, you get out of it. You get back in the right lane. Can I get an amen from somebody? Well, this guy was standing right here, and I'm like, oh my goodness gracious. We get over the hill, and there's a cop sitting right there. I'm like, thank you. Because I would have probably got a ticket if I'd have gotten that. Not because I'm trying to break the law, but I'm just trying to get to where I'm going. We need protection from ourselves because we get in our own way. We trip. I trip more on my own feet than I do on anything else, spiritually. Because you know what? God will not allow you to hurt yourself. A perfect example of that is in the Garden of Eden. God put a cherubim at the east side of the garden to keep them, to protect man from himself. Because Adam would have come right back in there and got right back in the presence of God. He would have started fellowshipping with God, trying to do that with all that sin in his life, and he would have corrupted everything. But God will protect you from yourself. And I'm telling you, at one time, you find yourself, Brother Daniel, at one time I had the presence of God. At one time I had the anointing of God. At one time I had these things. If you will search yourself and find out, God will meet you right back where you left him. Whenever you, the dear John, Brother talked about dear John, he says during that, I'm trying to overcome this sound too, so y'all try to overcome it with me. They're trying to get it better. He talks about dear John. Brother Brenham said he went and talked to this man sitting outside the bank, and this guy was in old clothes and all these different things, and saw him, and he said, how did you get in this situation? How did you become what you are right now? He says, I didn't always be like this. He said, you see that bank over there? I used to be the president of that bank. He said, well, how did you become what you are right now if that's where you come from? He said, I was a banker. He said, and one day I come home and there was a Dear John letter. And when I read that letter, from that day on, I let go. From that day on, I just couldn't move on any further. And the man actually literally become a bum on the street from being a banker at a bank. I know personally a man when I worked at Hickory Springs years ago, I was loading foam and doing the things that I did, and the man that was over me, I do not say this to be mean, I have to tell it the way it is to you understand what I'm saying. He was a super man, I won't say his name, but he was very overweight and he smelled really, really bad. Just unbearably bad to be around him. And very nice guy at times. There were other times he wasn't. But he had this thing about him. Smelled really bad. And I worked for this man for a long time. And then I remember one day, here come a beautiful redheaded lady that come into the place and brought flowers. And she was a very beautiful lady. Walked in there to him. She wasn't obese. Please understand what I'm saying. She was a very beautiful lady. Come in there, brought him flowers and chocolates, gave him a hug, and left. And I was loading this truck. And I've stepped, been horrible that I'm thinking, is that a daughter? Is that a niece? What is this? And I finally went over there. I stand about there. And he was leaning. They had these doors that were sitting there that we put inside the trailers. Because you put foam in there, you put a door in there, and that separates this load from the other load. He had his arms on the doors. This man was pushing almost 400 pounds. And I walked over to him, and he had tears coming down his face. He said, Daniel, don't ever adopt. I said, why do you say that? He said, that was my wife. He said, 15 years ago, he said, that was my wife. He said, and we couldn't have children, so we adopted, but instead of getting a baby, he said, we got a middle, like a teenage girl, and she said she absolutely destroyed her home. He said, and she left me. He said, but every year she brings flowers to me. Every year. I go back to my truck and I'm loading. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is he serious? And another manager that was there over, he said, Daniel, believe it or not, that woman was his wife. He said, believe it or not, that man over there used to be 200 pounds, lean and mean and full of muscle. He said he was a guy in the Air Force. He said, but from that time on, he said, Daniel, he completely quit. I say that just to show an example of from that time on. At one time, they had it going. At one time, they had the presence of the Lord. At one time, they were doing these things. But something happened. Something got in the way. And from that day forth, he never was able to be what he was becoming each day. I think everybody could identify with the from that time story. So doing a channel is a way of channeling something. And another way of channel is through frequencies. You can be on this channel of TV or radio station, and you can be on a certain channel. And I grew up in a poor home. I'm not ashamed of that. I don't think you should ever forget where you come from.
Right.
I think sometimes you can get too big and you forget where you come from. We didn't have hot water until I took my first hot shower when I was 12 years old. I don't ever forget it. It was wonderful. I mean, absolutely. I was like, this is wonderful inside here. We would literally have to go and heat up water every single time and put it in the bathtub because we didn't have a hot water tank. We had a big garden behind the house, and we would do work our gardens. And you ever seen the plows that you push? I used to do that. My hands would be so calloused over at first, but they get hard enough to where you can do it. I used to plow gardening. I'm telling you, this garden, I'm not exaggerating, was as big as this sanctuary. Dad would break it up with a tiller, and I would take that plow and go through there and plow. And we would work really hard. But the other thing that we had growing up, believe it or not, we had a TV. We had a black and white TV that worked sometimes. There was a wire that hooked to that. They had rabbit ears on it at one point. We'd put tinfoil on it to try to get the signal, to get the channel in right. And then sometimes we'd have the wire that goes outside to the big antenna outside the house. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. And they'd say, turn it to the left. To the right. Right. Left. Right there. And you'd run back inside and you'd watch the show on black and white TV and you were as happy as could possibly be. But you had to have it in the right frequency. You had to have it turned toward the right thing, and as long as it was tuned to the right thing, you could catch the picture of what you're trying to see. And brothers and sisters, I think a lot of times God is trying to speak to us on a daily basis, but we need to change the frequency. We need to move the static. We need to make some changes sometimes. And a lot of times, it's not real big changes. Sometimes it's a little quarter of a turn on that antenna, and you turn it just a little bit of a ways, and all of a sudden the picture comes in clear. How many knows what I'm talking about? You can go through it. That's why I love an evangelist comes through that doesn't know you. What makes it hard is whenever someone that's a local evangelist, anytime I say something, you'll say, well, here, who knows about that? But I don't. Maybe sometimes I do, but you know what I'm saying. You got a visiting evangelist comes through, and you know this man does not know what I'm talking about. This man does not know what I'm going through. And you say, praise the Lord, turn your antenna a little bit to the left. You'll turn it, and you'll say, praise God, that was a wonderful service.
Amen.
And it was a wonderful service. But that's the wonderful thing about having an evangelist is he can shake you and say, you know what, make these changes. Make these turns. Make these little bitty turns. Because we have to change our frequency sometimes. When I was little, we lived in this old house, and we had no barn out back. And Dad taught me how to drive a tractor at a very young age. I think I was 8 years old when I was driving a tractor. And driving this tractor right there, how many drove a tractor? Few of you. How many of you drove you one at 8 years old? I probably shouldn't have either. My dad would do things that maybe according to construction laws, you probably shouldn't do. But my dad, he thought I could handle it, and apparently I did, because I got the job done and I never got hurt. Thank the Lord. Never hurt anybody. But Dad had this tractor stored in an old barn. It was an old Ford tractor. And me and my brothers would go inside there, and you'd have to get on top of the tractor to climb on top of the barn. And on top of this barn up there, the big old hay barn, we'd get up inside there, me and my brothers, and we'd talk about what we're going to do when we get older. And I remember when I got up there, there used to be pigeons up there that would be flying around up inside this barn where we were at. And that was our clubhouse. And We would hide up inside of this barn, and I saw this little pigeon that was fluttering. And I said, I want to catch him. I want to catch this pigeon. I want to hold on to him. And I fumbled through there, and I caught that pigeon, and I hurt his poor little wing in the process. But I held him, and he had the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. And I remember I sit there, and I just held him for a few minutes, and I finally let him go. And I noticed that there was oil all over my hand. And I remember as a young child, God was beginning then to try to tune me in on my frequency.
Amen.
I remember looking at that poor little pigeon, and I felt so sorry for him. And I apologized to him so many times. My brothers laughed at me. I said, what in the world is the matter with you? I said, look at this oil. I thought it was like blood or something. I thought it really hurt it, you know. But God was dealing with me at a young age to see how that there is something to this oil on the inside of this dove. I can remember, friends, as at that time, God began to really deal with me. My parents didn't go to church a whole lot. My dad went every once in a while. But I loved to go to church. There was something inside me that wanted to go to church. There was something inside me that had a desire to go. And I remember I had a fire inside my heart, a fire inside my bosom to reach God. But I didn't know how to do it. I had something inside me that said there's something more than just going to this church. And I remember we went to Sunday school one time, and my Sunday school teacher had short hair, and sometimes she'd wear pants. And I was a little bitty feller. And I asked her in Sunday school, she said, "Does anybody have questions?" And I can remember being in Sunday school and I raised my hand up. She said, "You wait a minute, Daniel. This is talking to all the big kids." And it finally come to me and she says, Danny, what's your question?" They used to call me Danny. "Danny, what's your question?" I said, "Ain't it wrong for women to cut their hair? And if I've ever poked a bear, I poked it that time." And I said, "Ain't it wrong for y'all to wear pants too?" And then I really did it. Well, the next thing I knew, Sunday school class, I had to sit with Dad inside the church. They kicked me out of Sunday school. It started at a young age, my rebellion, I guess you could say. That's the honest truth. No one told me about that. Something inside me said, that's wrong. Something inside me said it's wrong to cut your hair. Something inside me said it's wrong to wear pants. I don't understand why. I was a little baby fella and I got scolded for it. The devil saw that I was tuning into something, that the Lord was tuning me into something, and the devil tried to put a wet blanket on top of me at a very young age. And listen to what I'm saying. The devil does not stop doing that.
That's right.
Your whole life, there'll be something inside you that says, this ain't right. There's got to be something. There's got to. No, this isn't right. The devil will try to get you to go with the flow. Let me encourage you to tune yourself, channel yourself into the Spirit of God where you are walking with God. I've made this story about my poor precious wife, how I give her a hard time about dancing with me. And I tell her, I said, "I want you to get up. I want you to dance with me. One of these days, we're going to do it." But I tell her, "I want you to get up and I want you to dance with me." And whenever we get up, and I'm going to show you something about dancing. When you're dancing, you don't both lead. There's one person that leads when you're dancing. And you go with the fluid and the feeling of what the music is. And whenever you're doing that, and you, when you are in sync, you are in harmony with one another. And I'm not encouraging going out dancing. I think you're mature enough to know that. But this spiritual walk with the Lord, brothers and sisters, is just like dancing. Whenever you are walking with the Lord and you've got something inside of you that is channeled to the Spirit of God, and you're tuned in with the Spirit of God, you are not trying to lead your life on a daily basis. You're saying, "God, you lead me and I will follow." There's a spirit inside you that is moving on a daily basis. When you are listening to the Spirit of God, you are sensitive to the Spirit of God, and you feel the tug, and all of a sudden you turn, and you don't even know why. You just feel the tug. Brother Brennan talked about that one time, how he went to an airport one time. He was going to go fly somewhere, and the Lord told him, said, "Start walking." He had no idea where he was going. He was walking. There was something inside him that was tugging him, and he was singing one of them. Had no idea why he was going where he was going. And he just kept walking, he's singing one of them, I believe was the song he was singing, come to a certain place, and there was a little woman, the old woman that was sitting there leaning on the fence, had dew on her face, and she said, "Parson, I've been waiting on you." The man had no idea where he was going, but what was he doing? He was tuned in to the frequency. He was tuned in where God could speak to him. Brothers, sisters, don't push that on just the prophet. We can have that in our life. To where we can be led by the Spirit. To where we can be in tune with God. Where we are walking with God. To where we are sensitive enough. To where you know you're moving and all of a sudden you feel that presence. And I don't know why I feel this way. But something's fixing to happen. Because I'm sensitive to the Spirit of God.
Brothers and sisters, if there's anything we need to be sensitive to, it's sensitive to the Spirit of God. I'm here to tell you, rapture warning, it's not going to be this big proclamation. It's going to be for those that are diligently seeking the Lord. Amen. Where you are diligently walking with the Spirit of God. Where all of a sudden, whenever you do something wrong, you won't be able to sleep at night until you make it right. Whenever something that hinders that frequency, you'll say, I'm so uncomfortable until I get it right. If you're not dealing with that, you need to do a checkup this morning. Because I mean, if you're in this flesh right now, you're battling. Is that true? No. I'll be Brother Daniel. I don't battle. Well, you're higher than the prophet then. Because the prophet had this guy right here. Paul had this right here. Paul said, I die daily. Give yourself some grace sometimes when you fall. Because you have to realize you're fighting someone that's tripping you. The hardest thing for a believer is to get back up, knock the dust off, and start marching. Yeah. But the thing is, we make ourselves too big. We make ourselves, because we live in America, where we go from small to big. We want to go from this this. We want to become big. I want my music to be big. I want my music to be powerful. I want my preaching to be powerful. To where we go somewhere and they say, oh, brother so-and-so. You say, well, Daniel, I don't do that. We need to humble ourselves and say, God, I can't do this. You say, Brother Daniel, I can't do that. How do you approach your day without seeking the Lord? How do you approach your day and say, I don't need God's leadership right now? How do you make these decisions that are long-lasting decisions and you don't seek God first? God, I need your help. I need to be channeled into this frequency to where when God speaks to me, I can listen. I'm showing this as a young child, I didn't have anyone to channel me. I didn't have anything to push me to the right way. And I'm speaking especially to the young people. When you feel that fire on the inside of you and that pull on the inside to get closer to God, closer to God, listen to what I'm saying. If you will channel that, if you'll take that passion that you feel on the inside and you'll channel that to the Scriptures, and you say, Lord, I want to know you. I want to know who you are. I want to know who I am to where when I'm on the battlefield and I don't feel anything, to where whenever it feels like my whole world is falling apart, when it feels like I've got things that are going wrong with me and I don't even have the words to explain what's going on. Lord, help me be able to know you in a way to where when I'm walking in that, I can know who I am. And I can know where I'm standing. Because I'm here to tell you, there are going to come midnights, brothers and sisters. And you're going to go through exactly what Brother Daniel just said. The hardest, I've been through those times, where you're going through a time whenever you feel so beat down, so empty, so, but you don't even have the words to explain to somebody, this is what I'm going through. And whenever you feel that way, the devil is his opportunity to beat you down. But it's during those times. It's when you're in your mountaintops. That's when you get into this word. And you're saying, God, I want to know who you are. I don't want to try to quote anything. I don't care if anybody ever hears you quote a single quote or scripture of being able to. There's a lot of people that put too much stock in that. But they know, because I've been in the message for X amount of years. I can quote the message. I can quote the Bible. But where are they at in the valley? Where are you at when the music stops? How many knows what it's like to have a prayer request when you, or a walk when you go through the prayer and you're trying to get this need, and you're doing good, you're doing good, you're doing good, and then right, and as you're running, as the run comes from a slowdown to a jog, pace, slow, and your knee is literally right there, but you just can't reach it. How many is what that's like? Absolutely. And as much as the devil would love to use that opportunity to make you feel you must not be one of God's, it's just not for you. It is for you. When I was a little boy, I remember, I saw a lot of stories when I was a little boy. I was a little boy for a long time. My wife says I probably still am one. But I remember we'd go to the lake, a certain place, and the water was brown. And that could be why I hate brown water. I love blue water, green water. I love it. Absolutely love it. But I remember we were out at this lake, and I was with all the family, and they gave me a beach ball. And I was out in this water, and I was playing with this beach ball, and I was with all the family. I'm going to ask you something. Is there anything wrong with the beach ball? Anything? Absolutely not. But I was with the family. I was playing with this beach ball. Playing with the beach ball. Playing with the beach ball. And the next thing I knew, that beach ball fell out. And I was swimming. I tried to grab the beach ball. And every time I'd reach for that beach ball, it'd go further out. I'd swim a little more. Swim a little more. Swim a little more. And the next thing I knew, I was like, oh my goodness, how far away am I? And I looked over, and my family was way over there. And I was way over here, and the waves started, and a boat come through, did like a wake, I guess what you call those? Big waves coming over my face. And it was coming higher than my face, and I was swimming up, trying to get air. And every time I tried to take a breath, another wave would hit me in the mouth. And I was full of water. And I remember I was so scared. And I had an uncle that a lot of people make fun of. A lot of times, because he would do goofy stuff sometimes. That's probably where I get it from. My Uncle James. I remember I was trying to call out for help, and I needed help. Somehow, I drifted away from the family. Somehow, I drifted away, and I was all by myself. And I wasn't doing anything that was wrong necessarily, but somehow, I found myself in this situation, and I was crying out for help, but nobody could hear me. And I remember I was going under the water, and I felt like it was going to be my last time. I went up to the top, and I went to stream, and I went down. I said, this is it. This is the end of me. And all of a sudden, I felt a strong arm come around my belly that pulled me up. And I thought it'd be my Uncle John. My Uncle John was like 6'7", full-blood German guy. He was so big, he could flex his muscles and rip his shirts. Did it all the time. His wife, Bernadine hated it. It made her so mad. She said, I just bought that shirt for you. Ribbon, and he just a guy thing. He was a little boy too, see? Some of us just don't go at it. I thought it'd be my Uncle John pulling me up, swinging me up, and pulling me up, and putting my head up out of the water, and pulled it, and I turned around, and it was my Uncle James. My Uncle James saved my life. There was nothing wrong with the beach ball, but it was a distraction. And because it was such a distraction, it got me further and further away from everybody. It got me away from my fellowship. It got me out of tune with everybody else. And I felt myself all alone. I'm here to tell you that's exactly how the devil will do it, friends. Right. You know how they kill a frog on a stove? If you take a frog and you throw that frog inside of the hot water, he's smart enough, got enough brains, he'll jump right out of that pot. Now, I've never done this, but I've read that it's true. You can take that poor frog, put him in cold water, put him on the stove, and put it on low. That frog will sit right there and cook to death. He will literally sit on the stove. If you were to pull him to the side and say, Mr. Frog, I'm going to put you inside here, I'm going to cook you, and you're going to die. What do you think about that? You think he'd have listened to me? No, he'd have jumped off and had enough common sense, he'd probably went away. But the devil, when he does it, friends, he's not going to just throw you in something. He's going to put you in it, and he will slowly, slowly, slowly turn up the heat. And you're getting one step further every day.
with the presence of the Lord. You once had it, you felt it, it was instantaneous, you felt it. This time it was a little bit less, this time it was a little less, this time it was a little less, and then next thing you know, it's like, I ain't even felt the presence of God in a long time. But a lot of times it's us. But the American way, what's the American way for us to always do when things ain't going right for us? Well, take that finger and point it at everybody else. I remember somebody real wise told me, if you look at there when you're doing that, you've got 1, 2, 3 other fingers pointing at yourself every time you do that. All the time we have a tendency to blame everybody but ourselves. It's my wife's fault. She's the reason I don't have the presence of the Lord. If she would do this, it's my husband's fault. If he would do this, it's that bald deacon's fault. He's the one that did it. It's him that did it. Well, he, I pick on him for being old. You wait till I go bald. He ain't never gonna let me live it out. he'll probably write a song about it. It's coming, brother. Right over here. It's their fault. It's this person's fault. It's this person's fault. You'll blame everybody but yourself. Whenever it's just us. If we can be tuned with God individually, if we will tune ourselves into the Spirit of God, whenever the preaching, I'm going to ask you something. Don't raise your hand, please. How many times, whenever a sermon be preached, you'll go home and study about what the preacher preached about? How many of you will go through there during the week, take what the preacher said, and go back and listen to it again? Did you know that's why we put the main reason we put it on there is so we can go back and listen to it again? It's for this people right here. Listen to what I'm saying. You are our first priority. You in this building, right here, right now, you are our first priority. And you that's listening, get here to the building, and you'll be the first priority. But whenever I enter my prayer closet and I pray for you, I'm going to pray for the ones I'm singing here that's fighting this fight, that say, I am trying to get closer to God.
Right.
How many times have you gone back and studied it out and really take the scripture and say, God, I want this? Don't raise your hands. Because we have a tendency to want to point it at everybody else and say, if he would do this, I am flesh also. He said, Brother Daniel, you fight that? Yep. Amen. Maybe you might want to pull the man up a little closer. I want to skip the fellowship this afternoon. We have a tendency to want to blame everybody but ourselves, but you know what? I've got something in me that I want the fire of God in church every time we come to church. I want it to be whenever we have a song service that inspiration that I'm already feeding on can just bring more coal to the fire. But you know, you've got a responsibility individually. You've got to get rid of the wet blankets. And I was talking about earlier as a little boy. I remember we'd go to, me and my brothers would go to my grandma's house. And we would see this plane come across where we were. And he wouldn't be going very fast. But all of a sudden, you'd hear a kapow! And this plane would go so fast. And that's what was very known back then, a very common word that was said very often. It broke its sound barrier. How many members will sing it? How many of you young people ever hear anybody say that? They're like, what are you talking about, Dad? It's because that's how much beyond things have changed. That was a very known subject, breaking the sound barrier. This plane would go to a certain speed where finally it would break the actual sound barrier, and that thing would move faster than the sound. I would that we'd get faster than the sound sometimes. This right here. This is your battleground. And this battleground right here, brothers and sisters, will alienate you and make you think that what you do does not matter. It will tell you that how you act does not matter. It doesn't matter if I pray diligently the night before service. It will tell you it doesn't matter if I am in service on time. It will make you think it doesn't matter if I do this. Because I'm not a preacher. I'm not a singer. I don't play the guitar. I just go to church. If you're not pushing, you're pulling. And we need to get rid of the pulling and get everybody to push it. This wagon. You say amen?
Amen.
Listen to what I'm saying. If you are not pushing in the service, if you are not giving your all and you're pushing in this service and you're pulling on the presence of God and you're being mindful of the Spirit of God and you're not sensitive to the Spirit of God, if you're not doing that, you are pulling the wagon against everybody else. Stop pulling the wagon.
Amen.
And start pushing. But Daniel, how do I push? I did this demonstration the other day. We're going to see if they still work. Everybody got hands? All right, get ready. Everybody clap your hands. Ready? Oh, my. Brother Tony, we sound Pentecostal there for a minute. How many of you can raise your hands? Let's see. Ready? Not all at once. Let's just take your time. Let's start. Go slow. Ready? One, two, three. Oh, my goodness. Everybody, even the little one, raised his hands. Praise the Lord. Do you know, you doing that right there, you doing that right there, makes a difference. Because you are pushing the wagon. When Brother Tony or myself, and we're preaching during the week, do you know you got something else you can do? You know what you can do? Brother Tony, I'm going to call you out, brother. Get up here. Come on up here, brother. He said, Brother Daniel, what are you doing to me? Look at this fine gentleman. Tall gentleman. I want you to raise your hands up, brother. And you don't let him down. We'll just go on talking for a minute. You know, this is a good brother. A little higher, really. A little, just a little higher. Oh, there we go. This brother right here has a wonderful part of the service. He's doing a little higher. Really. Just. Okay. Well, brother, if you would lift your arms a little higher, we'd probably have a little better service. Higher, please. You know how bad it is our shoulders are starting to burn right now? Are they burning yet, brother? A little bit. We need some weights, don't we? I should have brought those. I won't hold you here too long, brother. But Elijah, I want you to come here. Brother Richard, I want you to come here, brother. This brother can hold for a little while, his arms up. And right now, they're probably not burning a whole lot. But I promise you, the longer he holds them up, the heavier they're going to be. And this brother can take this arm, and this brother can take this arm. And you're holding his hands up, and brother, you start getting weak in your arms, and they start coming down. That's what he's for. That's what he's for. To hold the hands on the ministry up. Whenever they get weak and they get tired, it's our job to hold it up.
Amen.
And whenever you see his arms being weak, and we see Brother Tim's arms getting weak, and maybe he ain't stroking, or Sister Brittany, or Sister Anna, or whoever it may be, Brother Jordan, and Brother Matthew, I'm going to get every one of you in here. If you feel like they ain't playing exactly as good as they should be, they ain't doing this exactly, you know what you can do? You can walk up and grab their arms and lift their arms back up.
Amen.
And pick them up.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother John. We see them. It's our responsibility to hold each other up.
Amen.
It's our responsibility to lift one another up. Especially our ministry.
Amen.
Because the devil will fight me. Trust me. He'll fight me. He'll fight you. He'll fight everyone to try to want to blame everybody else. Whenever we are the one that can do something.
Amen.
So I want to ask you, and I want you to lift your hand this time, because you don't, I'm going to pray for you. Who's going to help me lift up?
Amen.
Who's going to take the charge? Now you lift your hand. Brother Richard, you raise your hand. Raise that hand up, brother. Okay, just make sure. He said, well, Daniel, I did lift my hand. He said, Brother Daniel, I did lift up my hands. We have a responsibility. And I'm going to ask you, do you think it makes a difference when you raise your hands in service? Yes, it does.
Amen.
You said, well, that, Daniel, that's enthusiasm. Enthusiasm helped you get in the Spirit. You go to a ball game and you sit there and nobody gets excited, you'll be bored. At least I am. I can't. I see people watch baseball. I love you, brothers. I do. I don't get it. They will sit there and chew sunflower seeds and look, the man standing there with a bat. And sometimes they feel like that's all they do. But some people love it.
Yeah, it's good for you. I like action.
Because that's just me. Because whenever you go to a game, whenever you're doing the enthusiasm, did you know you are getting yourself and your brother and your sister in the spirit? And a lot of times you go to service, you come to a service and you don't feel like praising God, you don't feel like doing anything. It was a battle to get to church because you're fighting this guy. But whenever you get there and your brother and your sister is praising God and they are worshiping God, you can try to fight it all you want to, but there's something inside here that's going to start pulling. And what is it? It's channeling the energy. Where you're channeling that energy from yourself into this service. Troy, you have something. I can't say this clear enough. You have something to offer. Not just to the service on your daily basis. Troy, you can be the ministry to your family. You can be the ministry to your grocery store. You can be the ministry. Brother Tony said it the other day. Sheep begat sheep. The pastor that has got a job. He got the responsibility of it. But it's us. But I want you to remember this one. I'm not going to be much longer. I want you to listen to what I'm saying. People will not care how much you know until they know how much you care. I want to ask you to slow down and say, Lord, help me to have that love. Help me to be in that channel of the Spirit to where I can show somebody that I love. You ever had somebody try to act like they love and you know, or act like they care, and you could tell they care deeply about what you're going through?
Right.
Just don't do it. That's just kind of how you feel, you know. Be genuine. Be genuine when you're talking to somebody. Be genuine when you're listening to somebody. I'm not going to say names because I would be dead after service. Sisters. Says the elder sisters. Teach the young ones. I say elder because I ain't calling no sister elder. You have a ministry to where you can teach the younger how to be a keeper at home. You can teach the younger how to be subjected to her own husband. Young people, be obedient to your parents. Did you know that whenever your young people are just being obedient to your parents, do you know that's preaching a message to the people around you? And you don't even realize it. When they hear, yeah, nah. You know, disrespectful. I try to teach my kids, yes, sir. No, sir. Because you are not too big. Always remember this. If you don't humble yourself, listen to what I'm saying. If you don't humble yourself, God will humble you. God will always give you a warning before judgment. If we will humble ourselves and say, Lord, I don't want you to have to spank me. I don't want you to have to do that. Lord, I want to apply this to myself to where me as a young person, where I can be respectful to the people I'm around, where I can conduct myself the way I am. One of the worst things in the world is when they have a sister that wears the dress, the attire, but she's got a temper that'll find a buzzsaw. You can do everything right in front of people. What's the one thing they're going to remember? It's not what you do right. It's what you do wrong.
Right.
That's what they're going to be left with. Well, Daniel, you just said we all make faults. We all do that.
That's right.
We do all. As long as you're in this flesh, you'll make faults. You'll make failures. But you know what? Whenever you do something wrong and you repent and you go back and say, I shouldn't have acted that way. I'm so sorry. I should not have done that. And you shake their hand, you will speak more to them than if you would have never made the mistake in the first place. But nobody likes to go back and say they're sorry. Because it's uncomfortable. And that's brothers too. I didn't mean to just call out the sisters. If you act the same way, you can conduct yourself a certain way, but if you act, the way you use these words, the way you conduct yourself, the way you respect your parents, the way you respect your boss. You know, Scripture says, do all that you do without grumblings and complainings. That's a hard one. Your boss ever tell you to go do a job that you do not want to do? You absolutely despise doing it? I'll do it, but I ain't going to do it. I hate doing this. You almost better not even do it in the first place because you've destroyed everything. And that's what I'm saying. Husbands and wives. Babe, I want you to do this. I'll do it. I'll do the work for you. And you should be able to tap in a hammer like this and you're like, you may as well not even do it in the first place. And I'm saying this to be spiritually, the Lord has things for us to do that the Lord desires. If you're just doing it because you have to, it's almost as if you shouldn't even do it in the first place. Because it's a slap in the face. Whenever we're praying, whenever we're devoting ourselves in service, when we're getting to church early, how many minutes did the prophet of God say you should be in church early? Service early. Everyone with me. On three. One, two, three. How long?
30 minutes.
Before service. Why? Why does it matter? Why did the prophet say it?
Right.
The prophet said, do it. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm going to step on some things real quick and I'll quit because I need to. He said, get there 30 minutes early and prepare your service. He says, you know, don't even be talking inside the sanctuary. He said, a child running through can knock somebody out of their healing in the next service. He says, listen to what I'm saying. He said, you shouldn't be chewing bubble gum inside the service. Because it's a disrespect to God. Could you imagine going to a court to where your life is on balance and you're sitting there and you got that gum in your mouth and listen, Judge, would you do that? No. But we're talking about a judge that's the judge of all judges. The God that is God of all gods. He's the King of all kings and we're going to come into His presence? I'm not saying you can't put a coffer up inside your mouth and do that when you get it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about it's a reverence before God. It's a reverence before the Lord. Well, when you're going before the Lord, you're coming before Him because you're saying, God, I respect You. I acknowledge that You are a holy God and You deserve holiness. You deserve our presence. And when I come to church early, 30 minutes early, I am channeling my energy to this service. Whenever I come early, I'm channeling myself for somebody to receive healing. Could you imagine to find out that you had brother or sister so-and-so that was going through this trial, but you knocked them out of their healing? Not Brother Tony, not Brother Daniel. You knocked them out of their healing. You said a bad attitude can knock somebody else out of their healing. Listen to what I'm saying. A bad attitude. The biggest thing, hardest thing to overcome is somebody that's got a bad attitude. I remember reading in a question and answers one time where Brother Brennan says, a woman's come to him, and this is amazing to me. They said, I have a stubborn spirit. They acknowledge, a stubborn person acknowledged that they have a stubborn spirit. And I said, Brother Daniel, I'm stubborn. And I don't know how to overcome that. I'm stubborn. How do I overcome it? This is what he said. He said, a stubborn spirit is just like a rattlesnake. He said, if you try to tame that rattlesnake with a stick, he said, it'll get madder and madder and madder and madder. He said, ignore it and it'll go away. Friends, if you got the devil that's fighting these things that I've talked about this morning, resist it, ignore it, and walk away. And don't get mad at Brother Daniel for saying these things. Because you know, if you know me well at all, you'll know that I'll be beating myself up enough tonight and the days to come. Because it matters.
Yeah.
The way you dress when you come to church and when you're on a daily basis, it matters. It matters. I want to ask you something. Before, when you go and wearing something to church, I want to ask yourself, would I wear this if I was going before a judge this morning? If I was going before the one that held my life in his hands, would I wear what I'm wearing right now? Not because you're legalistic, because of a respect for God. Troy, you are, because when you're doing that, you are sacrificing before the Lord. You're sacrificing putting yourself ready. You're sacrificing getting yourself together. You're sacrificing because whenever you're doing it, you are putting effort of yourself into the service. If I'm telling you, these little things I'm talking about, brothers and sisters, if you don't do them, it's wet blankets. Let's get rid of the wet blankets where it's a holiness when we come into this building. I want it to be for this decision. When somebody walks through that door, they feel the presence of God because of your life and your life and your life and your life and your life. Namely. But the little things I'm talking about, it matters. Listen to me, if you're streaming from a home service, you shouldn't be propped up with your feet propped up and a glass of tea. That is your sanctuary at that time. If you're streaming from a service and you're listening to a service, don't sit there propped up. That is your sanctuary. Treat it just like a sanctuary and you'll get blessed. Just like you're in a sanctuary. But if you take it easy and take it a lot, you ain't going to get a thing from it. No more than you would by coming right into this building. If you're not putting everything into it and you're not seeking God, God, I want to hear your voice. Brother Jess Tremble, before he passed away, I heard him say something I'll always remember. I hope I do. He said, always remember when a preacher is preaching a message, he said, you remember he's got every devil in hell fighting him before that service ever starts and all through the service. He said, try really hard to listen. What is his message? What is the message he's trying to give me this morning? Because the devil will try so hard for you to see the static rather than hearing the message. What is the message of this church? What is the message that the pastor has given me? Don't listen to the static. What is the message? Because there's a lot of people that are out there that are running with a message, but it ain't a message.
Right.
Or it's perverted. I challenge you. Take the messages that are preached. Take it to the Bible. Take it to the message. Challenge it. Is this according to scriptures? And I'm telling you, it is. Absolutely. And if it's not, we want it to be corrected. Is that right, brother?
Amen.
We want it to be. So challenge you to get rid of the static in your own life. Sometimes it might be a quarter of a turn. Sometimes you might need just a little bit of a turn, and some of them might need a whole lot of turn. Like me. But you've got to be willing to get out of your comfort zone. But you know how many people back in that time would be willing to sit in that chair and look at a static picture because they're too lazy to get up and go out and turn the antenna. And how many people spiritually are willing to sit service after service after service and feel like you're not getting from it whenever you're too lazy to get up and turn the channel and say, Lord, help me. Help me to tune this guy. Because this is your worst enemy.
Right.
Yourself. You're the worst hindrance to your own walk. But me, I got such nice hair. My dress is so nice. You. It's all stand. I mean, I'm just digging myself deeper and deeper as I go into the service. I know this is not a service that anybody wants to jump and shout on. It's definitely nothing anyone wants to hear. And some of you may just need a little bit more of a turn. But you know yourself where you're at. I listened to Brother Jason Watkins one time. It's been a while back. He said he was doing Bible studies at a such and such place. But I think it was at a hotel is where they were going. And the lady that was over the hotel was respectful at first of them. He said, but day by day, she began to get more and more arrogant. And finally, it was on a Saturday morning, she started saying, Boy, we had such a good time last night. We were drinking. We were doing this. We were dancing. We had such a good time. She said, this is the life. And he said, sister, that's death. You think you've got life. And she said, I've got life. He said, who are you to judge me? My body, I do what I want with it. My body, my life, I do what I want. That's the attitude of the day. He said, sister, that may be true, your body. He said, but let me ask you something. Who gave you your life? Because he can take it whenever he wants to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say something here as sober as I know how to say it. Listen to what I'm saying. If you don't listen to anything else, listen to what I'm saying right now. Brother Brenham talked about how he went to the tire shop. And he tried talking to brother so-and-so. And he said, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to hear about it. And Brother Brennan went home and he said, I felt so terrible. He said, I felt so grieved because I was trying to talk to him. Surely they didn't mean that. Surely he did not mean that. And he went back to go visit the man again. He said, brother, surely you didn't mean that. Surely you know that I would never do anything to offend you in that. He said, I don't want to hear about it. Don't tell me how I have to live my life. Don't tell me this. Brother Brennan said it broke his heart so bad. And he went back home and he just all you do is pray. And that man was taken off the scene very shortly afterwards. God is not going to let his name be run in the dirt. I don't say that to scare anybody. I'm telling you, listen what I'm saying. You do not have a promise of tomorrow. How many 16-year-olds have already died? Unexpectedly. Right beside our house, a 15-year-old girl, 15 years old, on their way back from vacation in a head-on collision. And she lost her life. Where's she at right now? If the Lord was to take you off the scene on the way home, church today, where are you at? I'm not talking about feelings. I'm not talking about emotions. I'm talking reality. Just like that, it can change. Where would you be? If you go to work tomorrow and the rapture takes place tomorrow, where will you be? I'm here to tell you, there'll be a lot of people. For some reason, I've always thought it'd be Monday morning. Because it'd be from their attitude of what they had on Sunday. What was your attitude toward the last service that was preached? Was it, don't tell me how I need to live my life? Don't tell me. I'm not going legalistic. Don't tell me what I have to do. Or is it, Lord, help me? I need help, God. I need help. And you say you will not be the same after service. Any service you have, you will either be closer to God or you'll be further away. And it's you that will have that effect, not the preacher. It's you. I want to ask, please, everyone, just bow your head in reverence before the Lord.
I'm not asking you to look for emotions.
I'm not asking for sensations.
I'm asking you to be honest this morning.
Where are you at in your channel? Where are you at in the Spirit of God moving in your life? There's a lot of people that think they're successful because they have the big houses, the big cars, they're great in school, or they're doing this, and everything's going right. That's not what you judge it by. Where are you at with this word in your life?
With every head bowed, do not look up, don't look around.
This is between them, each one, you and God. You say, look, Daniel, I don't know how in the world I've done it, but I found myself playing with the beach ball. And I have somehow drifted away from the Lord, and I'm trying to get back. With every head bowed, just lift your hand up to the Lord. And the Lord sees your hands. Do not look around. This is between each individual and God.
He said, Brother Daniel, it doesn't matter if I lift my hand. Well, you leave that between you and the Lord. We'll pray with you. You don't have to come up front and have hands laid on you. You can do it right there in your seat. And say, Lord, I'm going to be the change. Myself, I'm going to be the change. Let's go to a new prayer this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you this morning. Lord, I know this is not a service necessarily that makes anybody want to jump and shout, but Lord, I know without a doubt this is exactly what you've led on my heart to speak, Lord. Lord, there's hands that are up across this building, Lord. And Lord God, they don't know how they've done it, but they've found themselves playing with the beach ball, so to speak. They've gotten out of sync with that frequency, Lord, of your spirit, Lord. And Lord, they want to make the changes. Lord, they want to be the change. Lord God, I'm asking you, go to each hand that's been lifted up, Lord. Deal with their hearts, Lord. You know what they're going through. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless their heart this morning, Lord God. Lord God, put a hunger in them, Lord, a thirst in them, Lord, to make the change, Lord, to be the change, oh God. Lord Jesus, walk the aisle, Lord. Knock on every heart this morning, Lord. Deal with each one, Lord. That devil will try so hard to put a thought in their mind and make them feel that, Lord, it's unattainable. But Lord God, I'm asking you, help them to push through that sound barrier. Lord, not looking for feelings, not looking for emotions, Lord. Lord, you know you were there, Lord. Several years ago when I was in Honduras and there was a little woman that wanted to have a baby. Lord, there was something inside her and her husband. They wanted so badly to have a baby, and the doctors said it's impossible. It'll never happen. It's unattainable. But Lord God, you come down in that service. Lord, there wasn't a bunch of shouting. There wasn't a bunch of goosebumps or whatever it may be, or hot oil, Lord. But your word was spoken, Lord. And she said, I believe it. And I want this child. I want the baby. And Lord God, you know, Father, that 10 months later she had a baby. Lord God, and I know that same God is here this morning. Lord, hands have gone up and they said, Brother Daniel, I want that life. I want to be the change. I want the baby. I want the life. I'm asking you, Lord, that you will go to them, Lord, right now, Lord. And your life can be born into their life, Lord Jesus, into their hearts, Lord. Lord God, touch each musician, Lord God. Lord, touch the deacons, touch the trustees, Lord, this morning. Touch the pastor, Lord. Lord, touch me this morning, Lord. Touch each one, Lord. Help us to be the change, Lord God. Lord, if there's anything in our life, Lord, anything that's causing static, help us to move those things out of your way. I'm committing it to you, Lord. I'm laying my heart out before you this morning. I'm asking you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask your musicians to come forward, both to you. Be the change. And say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do the changes that I need to do. I'm going to be the one. If there's not one person on the next service that praises God, I will be that one. Amen. If I have to stand alone, I will be that one. Amen. If there's one person going in the rapture tomorrow morning, I'm the one. Amen. It's raining down, is that right? Yeah.
many believe that the sermons that come across the pulpit is actually sent here by God?
Amen.
If you really believe that, then maybe you should do what Brother Daniel said, go back and listen to the services again, go back and study them. Maybe you should go listen to the ones that you miss when you're out. You know what I mean? These things do matter. I remember years ago when going over church order, and I was talking about the little child running through the sanctuary. Brother Bram said the child running through the sanctuary could cause someone to not get their healing, you know, could affect the service. And I remember saying, you know, is it because God just is so put out that that little child doesn't know you better? It's not that. But it's the parents. You know, what you do here, what happens here starts at home. And that little child doesn't know any better, but mom and dad do.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So it does matter. And it all accumulates here. It all comes right here, and this is where it all comes out. But it all happens for what, you know, so I've said it before. What's, you know, what time you go to bed the night before church, it affects how you, well, you're alert when you're in service.
That's right.
And all the things that affect you, you know, these things matter. You know, you want to have a clear conscience. And when God's dealing with you and speaking to your heart, ministry speaks to you, you know, you don't address it right then, it'll go from you. Satan will make sure it goes from you.
That's right.
But you want to have a good, clear conscience on the things. If I said that, you know, because I, when I was a little boy, I don't know, I'm sure I was less than 5 years old, and lived with my grandmother, and one of her children lived there, several of them lived there, but one of them, one of the uncles was there, and one day I was eating food, and I guess like most kids, I put too much food in my mouth, and my mouth hole full. And this uncle was sitting to the right of me, and he didn't like what I did, and he just did this, knocked me away from the table, bloodied my nose, and I had nosebleeds for years and years after that. Well, that was over 50 years ago. And Friday, he came to me and he said, I want to tell you I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing that. And I'm saying that to tell you this. Something right is working in that man's heart. To affect that and to make him come back after 50 years and apologize for something. He asked me, he said, do you remember that? I said, yeah, I don't remember that. He said, well, I'm sorry. I said, well, it probably didn't hurt me. I said, at the time, I'm pretty sure I thought it did then, but it obviously didn't hurt me. But, you know, you want to let God speak to you and act out these things that the Holy Spirit wants to act out for you. That's what the minister does when he comes here. And though sometimes, like Brother Daniel, don't you let yourself be beat up tonight. Because we need to hear those things, you know. And sometimes I want to say those things. I can show you a card I've been writing down. Some say, Brother Daniel, I wrote down last week. He's, you know, and sometimes I like it when another minister can say the things, you know. Because not that I want you to be mad at him, but, you know, it's not easy to stand up here and bring correction. But that's what our job is. And so, you know, it's. But, you know, God sees these things. He sees your attitude. He sees your approach. And he knows whether or not you really want to honor him. And if you really want to honor him, you'll go back here, and as you approach, you'll make sure that you're doing the things that you know that has been given to you from the message and from the ministry to prepare. You know, you're not going to have to worry about rapture if you got the rapture in you.
That's right.
If he's in you, he cannot leave without you.
That's right.
So you just got to make sure that you've accepted him. It's not something you're going to be able to do yourself. But he's promised he'll do it. You just got to surrender and let him come in. Amen. come to church on time. Sometimes I'm here two and a half hours early, and I'll tell you, my 2.5 hours early doesn't make up for your being late if you're late. And I'm going to say that because that needs to be stepped up a little bit. And those of you who aren't here already know who you are, and that applies to you too. You know, and so we just want to do all things well, believe that God will take our feeble efforts and multiply them. I suggest you go listen to the sermon on the wings of a snow white dove, because that dove does have something inside that cleanses. And this is really the desire I want for you and your experience. That if they came and shut the church doors today and you could not go to church ever again, that you and the Lord would be just fine. That's the kind of experience I want you to come to. So that you could walk away and I don't want you to say, well, I got that kind of experience, so I don't have to come to church. That's wrong too. But if that time ever came, that you could walk away knowing that you've got the oil of the Holy Spirit that cleanses you from within. And no matter where you go, that's going to take place. Because that's what Brother Brown talked about, and the wings of a snow white dove. It's got an oil from within that cleanses itself. It doesn't need outside influence to cleanse itself.
That's right.
See what I'm saying? And that's where we want to be. We want to get to the place where we don't have to have anything outside to make our walk straight. It's because we've already got the one inside that does it. And that's what makes the difference. So I thank Brother Daniel and the Lord for sending the things he shared with us today. I would like to have communion service pretty soon. And if it would work out okay, I think I would like to do it 2 weeks from today, the same day we would have our business meeting. Maybe perhaps Sister Bansy could be here, because I'd like for her to be here, for voting and for also for communion service. So does that sound okay for everybody, 2 weeks from today? So that gives you 2 weeks to really search your heart out. And I've been wanting to do it for a while anyway, but I think this would be a good time. Amen. So may the Lord bless you. We'll see you again and let you be dismissed. Amen.